Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to episode 14 of our series Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come. Based on my book, The Whore and Her Mother, 9/11, Babylon, and the Return of the King. If you've missed the previous shows, don't worry. You can still play or download the podcast of previous shows from our website, kingdomcome.org.uk, or you can read the first few chapters of the book for free there, and you can download the relevant prophetic passages for your own study. You'll also find more information about the music and the content of each show, and you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. Here is one of them. This loaf is really fresh in content and presentation. You have a great message that the world needs to hear. Lottie Sullivan, USA. If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. In previous weeks, we've covered the preface, introduction, and the first eight chapters of the book. Last week, we completed Chapter 8, The Six-Hour War. Let's sum up what we've covered in Chapter 8. Six-Hour War in the Middle East. 1. Israel has a nuclear weapon capability and maintains a Samson option to strike at those nations around her if her survival is threatened. 2. Isaiah 28 seems to describe the current Middle East peace process as a covenant with death, a contract with hell for Israel. God himself will annul this contract. 3. Isaiah 17 describes the complete destruction of Damascus, capital of Syria, a city which is proud to be the longest continually inhabited city in the world, never before destroyed. 4. Along with Syria, many other surrounding nations are mentioned, including Iran, the most likely to attack with a nuclear missile, but they will become like chaff in the wind, like dust in a storm. 5. This war will be of very short duration and is liable to be a nuclear one. In the evening, sudden terror. Before morning, they're gone. 6. Zechariah 5 possibly describes nuclear missiles being prepared by Iran. They have boasted of hidden missile capability, but do these already have nuclear warheads? 7. This war could possibly be triggered by the UN recognizing a second Palestinian state. It is possible that all, certainly most, of the UN states will gather against Israel in this vote, fulfilling part of the Zechariah 12 prophecy. 8. Israel will gain a large amount of territory from Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and probably also from Egypt and Saudi Arabia. 9. Now there will be room for the ingathering of potentially 90 million Israelites, who will come from former Assyria, Asia, and from African nations via Egypt. 10. Not only will Israel gain new territory, but she will also gain the wealth of those defeated and fleeing nations. Israel will suddenly be a power to be reckoned with, no longer hampered by enemies around or within her borders. Before we continue with Chapter 9, The Ten-Horned Beast, we're going to listen to Raggle Taggle from California, USA, and a tune called Tamlin's Reel. Thank you. Chapter 9, Riding a Ten-Horned Beast. The world globalization movement involves many more states than simply the USA. In that sense, Mega Babylon is a worldwide phenomenon. We in the countries of the West, and many others in Asia, South America, and elsewhere, are caught up in this market economy globalization movement, where the very rich get richer, the majority of us get poorer, and the poorest suffer greatly. We have all drunk of the wine of her impurity, shared in her luxuries. We are led by luxuries. Just think for a minute. How many mobile phones has your family purchased in the last 10 years? How many cars? How many luxury electronic items have we purchased? Our grandparents had no need of any of these things and probably lived happier lives on average. But the problem with globalization and the market economy is that more and more of the world's population are being left behind, falling off the edge, as Alex Perry calls it in his book of the same name. The God of Israel continually makes it clear in the Tanakh that he is concerned with how we treat the poor and underprivileged. He continually upbraids Israel and Judah through his prophets because of their exploitation of the weak and marginalized. It is for this very reason that he removed the Israelites and later Judah from the land he had promised to them, Amos 2, 6 and 7, and Amos 3, 10 and 11, Amos 5, 11 and 12, etc. He is totally opposed to globalization, greed, and exploitation of the weak, no matter what nation it occurs in. The idea that the God of Israel would be aligned with those in power today is a total distortion of the truth. Revelation 17, verse 3. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. In the Revelation, the whore is described as riding upon a scarlet leopard-like beast. The ancient Babylonian goddess Ishtar was regularly depicted as riding on either a leopard or a lion. This similar beast in the Revelation is described as having seven heads and ten horns. Kind of difficult to picture this. The meaning of the seven heads is not made immediately clear. Although comparing this with the prophecies of Daniel, we can see that they relate to reincarnations of the same moving empire spirit down through history. Therefore, the seven heads, or seven mountains, are in chronological order. They are empires that follow one another down through history. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, with one final beast yet to be revealed. The feature that is more clearly spelled out here is that of the ten horns. The Revelation says specifically that these are ten kings or rulers who rule with the harlot, though initially being under her domination and control. Eventually, these nations will tire of her domination and plot to overthrow Mega Babylon completely. Therefore, we should be looking for nations which dominate economically along with America. Many have taken this ten-nation configuration to be a reconstructed Europe, the European Economic Community, EC, Brussels, European Monetary Union, the Euro, and all that goes with it. Are they correct? Well, we need also to refer here to the prophecy of the statue in Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 45. Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind, and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. The rock, the kingdom of God, will destroy the spirit of empire once and for all. This statue prophecy is very similar to the seven-headed, ten-horned beast. It depicts four empires stretching forward through history from Daniel's time onward. Daniel received this revelation while the world was under the Babylonian Empire, the head of gold. But shortly after that, it was toppled by the Medo-Persian Empire, the shoulders and arms of silver. In turn, these were followed by the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great and his followers, the loins of bronze, and then the Roman Empire, the legs of iron. There is one more empire mentioned by Daniel, the feet of iron mixed with clay, an end-time empire with 10 toes, containing some of the iron, that is from the Roman Empire, but also of clay, that is not from the Roman Empire.
Oh,
That was Rebecca Faith from Florida, USA, and No More Chains. Let's consider the European Union, formerly the European Community, centred on Brussels. The original community was formed by the Treaty of Rome, certainly linked there with the Legs of Iron. The community grew to 9 nations. It would have been 10, but Norway dropped out, some think partly because of this end-time prophecy of Daniel. The community then became 12, then 25, and is currently composed of 27 nations, with another 7 under consideration. Many of these nations have no conceivable link with the old Roman Empire. Certainly nations such as Italy, France, Spain, Greece and Britain were once under control of Rome, but Sweden, Poland, Ireland, Denmark, Czech Republic have no such connection. Perhaps the EC does not quite fit, quite apart from it not having 10 nations. But think again, if the feet and the 10 toes were composed entirely of iron in Daniel's prophecy, then we would expect to find this union within Europe. But that's clearly not the case. The feet are of iron mixed with clay, two things which do not mix naturally. Some of these 10 nations may have a former link with Rome, the toes of iron, but they are joined by other nations who are toes of clay, and therefore have no connection with Rome. Where does that leave us then? Can we relate this to any powerful union which mixes some nations of Europe and other nations outside of Europe in this way? One group does spring to mind, not a political union, which many have sought in vain to identify, but a powerful economic union. Heard of the G8, or indeed the G20? What are these groups? The G8 is considered to be a gathering of the strongest nations of the world in economic terms. Who are the members of the G8? Well, we currently have the USA itself, plus Canada, Japan, Russia, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Italy. Wait a minute. Aren't 4 of these nations former components of the old Roman Empire? United Kingdom, Italy, France and Germany. So we already have 4 toes of iron, but we don't have 10 nations, or do we? Well, if you think about it carefully, we actually ought to be looking for a group of 11 nations. Remember that the harlot who rides upon the beast is a separate entity from the 10 nations who are the horns of the beast. So we need to think of 10 nations in addition to the USA. In other words, 11 in total. Let's look more closely at the G8, which holds regular economic summits, each time promising great changes in Africa and other poverty-stricken parts of the world, but never delivering. Let me stick my neck out and make a prediction. The G8 will never make a significant reduction in poverty, AIDS, malaria, third world debt relief, or any of the things that really matter to the poorest of this world. They are an organisation of the haves, with no interest in benefiting the have-nots of this world. These are the nations most in control of the world's economy, with great power to manipulate things to benefit not the whole world, but simply themselves. At the G8 summit in Edinburgh, Scotland, held in 2005, which friends of mine attended as protesters, there were not just 8 nations taking part. As well as those 8 mentioned above, the Premier of China was there, with a high-level representative of the government of India, plus Kofi Annan, then head of the United Nations organisation. That actually does make 11 rulers, doesn't it? Now, the makeup of the G8 may well change, but it seems a more likely candidate for the 10-horned beast than the EC itself. Now we have almost a full club. UK, Germany, France and Italy, toes of iron, together with Canada, Japan, Russia, China, India and toes of clay. The fact that we don't have an exact 10 nations yet is not terribly important, as some nations may well be added. We already have the wider G20 group, so there are plenty of possibilities to choose from. And it is still possible that one or more of the existing member nations could leave, though that would have to be by divine intervention, I think. I believe the membership of this group will become much clearer and stronger as time goes on. Keep an eye on the development of the G8. The characteristics of this ten-horned entity, conglomerate, are that they currently share the goals and influences of Mega Babylon. They share in her luxuries, profit greatly from their trade with her, have drunken the wine of her fornication, meaning they have drifted further and further from any respect for the God of Israel and his Torah. Now the members of this group are not yet set in stone. There is still time for a nation, perhaps Canada, the United Kingdom or whoever, to come to their senses and return to their God. If Norway could make such a choice about membership of the EC, then it is certainly possible for other nations to change their destiny. Stuart from New Brunswick, Canada, and a beautiful accordion tune, the Kennebecasis River Lament. Let's sum up what we've covered today. Who are the Ten Horns? 1. They willingly share with the harlot in her luxuries and fornications, though she is riding on their backs. 2. They are composed partly of iron, linked to the old Roman Empire, but also partly of clay, nations with no connection with the Roman Empire. Incidentally, this would rule out any direct connection with the European Economic Community, the EC. 3. The body which currently best fits the description of these economically strong nations is the G8 economic grouping, which makes decisions for the rest of the world. The numbers don't fit, yet, but the G8 already involves representatives of China, India and the UN, almost the 10 plus 1 required. 4. There is still just about time for a nation or nations to heed God's word and opt out of this evil destiny. Join us again next week for Chapter 10, Newsflash, America is Gone. Remember, if you want to buy the book, The Whore and Her Mother, in Kindle or paperback editions, go to our website, kingdomcome.org.uk/ Agus Banerjee. Bye and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.